الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد In our previous class, we had begun discussing the events of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ba'da al-bi'tha after the coming of prophethood. And we have seen that the Nazim is the author, the one who has written the poetry. This word here, we take this down. An-Nazim, An-Nun, Al-Alif, Allah, Wal-Mim. An-Nazim, who is Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi. An-Nazim, he had mentioned this event in his lines of poetry whenever he said, وَبَعْدَ عَمِي أَرْبَعِينَ أُرْسِلَا فِي يَوْمِ الْإِثْنَيْنِ يَقِينًا فَانْقُولَا. And after he reached 40 years of age, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent with prophethood, and then right after that with messengership. And this was on the day of Al-Ithnain, which is in accordance to Monday with certainty, and there's no doubt about that. And likewise, he was in the month of Ramadan, and this is after the age of 40. So after the age of 40 in the month of Ramadan, in the Ghar Hira, in the cave of Hira, on the day of Al-Ithnain, which is in accordance to Monday, Jibreel, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the revelation began. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nubi'a biqra, he received a nubuwah, another term that we must learn, memorize, and understand. An-Nubuwa, Nubi'a Biqra. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he received Nubuwa with Iqra, with the first verses of this beautiful chapter. Read, in the name of your Lord who creates all things. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then likewise after that, Ursira bin Mudathir. And he was sent as a messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he received Ar-Risala, which is messengership. Messengership, which is messengership, Ar-Risala. He received this with the first verses of Al-Mudathir. So he was given the command to call to At-Tawheed with the first verses of Surah Iqra. And he was given the command to warn from Shirk in the first few verses of Al-Mudathir, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now the revelation began. We have to understand, and we have to realize that before this, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was no prophet. And he was not able to read or write. And he did not know anything about the revelation. He didn't know anything about the revelation. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا وَمَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before Allah revealed the revelation to him, and he sent Jibreel alayhi salam to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not know about the details of the book and the law and the legislation. He did not know the details sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the faith, about al-Iman, and about al-Islam. He was unaware of these affairs. He was unaware of these affairs sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the revelation came. And it came little by little. And the Quran was not revealed all at one time. Rather, it came portion after portion. The first portion were the first few verses from Iqra. And then after that, the next portion were the first few verses from Al-Mudathir. And then after this, Tataba al-Wahyi wahamiya nuzuluhu. After this, the revelation began to come back to back. And it began to continue and proceed all the way until the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, after the revelation of Mudathir, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began to call the people. He began to call the people and to warn them. But the manner of calling and warning, the da'wah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established in the beginning, da'wah sirriya fardiyya. Da'wah sirriya fardiyya. It was the secret and private call, and it was for individuals only. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began to call the people privately and secretly, and he did not announce the call in public. Rather, he kept it private, and also he did not announce the call to the general population. Rather, he was speaking to individuals specifically. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from the first to accept Islam, his wife Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, and likewise along with her from his family sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the young boy who is the son of his uncle, who is in his custody and guardianship, and his name is Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And likewise, from his closest of relatives, or from the closest of those to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was his mawla. His mawla, his freed slave, and his name was Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu, he's known as Hib Rasulillah. He is the one who's from the most beloved of the Messenger of Allah. Zayd ibn Haritha, he was a slave. He was captured and taken into captivity, and he was forced into slavery. And then in Al-Jahiliyyah, Zayd ibn Haritha, he came into the possession of Khadija radiallahu anha, and he was her slave, Zayd ibn Haritha. And then Khadija radiallahu anha, after she was married with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, she gave Zayd to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a gift. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam set him free. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam set him free. All of this was before prophethood. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam set him free and whatever. And Zayd, he loved the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam so much. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam loved him so much that he set him free. And then whenever Zayd's father and uncle came to pick him up and take him back to his family, because he had been captured and been taken into slavery and he was taken away from his family. And then whenever his father and uncle came to pick him up, the Zayd ibn Harith, you know what he decided? He said, "I don't want to go home. I want to stay with you. I want to stay with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam." So Zayd ibn Haritha, he chose to stay with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he is from the first of those to accept Islam. And likewise, as well, from the very first and foremost of those to accept Islam was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, radiyallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he had high status and rank, and he was known for great nobility and honor, and he was from those who were eloquent in their speech, and he used to have gatherings, and the people used to gather around him, and they used to love to be in his company, radiyallahu anhu, because he was so smart and so wise, and he was so interesting to be around, and the people respected him, and he had good business likewise, and he was well known for his honor and nobility. And whenever he accepted Islam, radiyallahu anhu, he did not remain silent. Rather, likewise, he started immediately helping the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he's working with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, calling the people privately. And Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, he called Uthman ibn Affan to al-Islam, and he accepted Islam. And likewise, he called Zubayr ibn Awam to al-Islam, and he accepted Islam. And also he called Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and Sa'id ibn Abi Waqas, and also Talha ibn Ubaidillah. All of them, they accepted Islam at the hand of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And if you know, all of them are all from the 10 who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had given glad tidings of paradise. They all accepted Islam at the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And likewise, a number of slaves as well that accepted Islam, and they were being tortured and they were being harmed, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he set them free. And from them Bilal, and from them Bilal, and Bilal likewise is from the first of those to accept al-Islam. And also after that, Abu Ubaidah, Amr ibn Jarrah, he accepted Islam. And also Abu Salama and his wife, and also Arqam ibn Abi Arqam, and also Uthman ibn Maz'un and his two brothers, Qudama and Abdullah, they were all from the first to accept that Islam. They're known as As-Sabiqun al-Awwalun, and also from them that great man whom the people of the Sunnah love dearly, Abdullah bin Mas'ud al-Hudhari radiallahu anhu. They're all known as As-Sabiqun al-Awwalun. They're the first and foremost to accept Islam. They accepted Islam in the very, very beginning, in the first stages. They accepted Islam whenever the call was private, and whenever the call was to individuals. So they're from the first of those individuals to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and to follow him. And the da'wah was private. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to teach them privately and in hiding. And the revelation would come and he would recite it to them, and he would teach them. And they're learning from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this manner for 3 years. In this manner for 3 years. And then after that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was ordered to call the people to Islam in public, and to announce the call publicly, and to openly call to al-Islam. And this is what the author, he mentioned in those lines, ثُمَّ دَعَ فِي أَرْبَعِ الْعَوَامِ بِالْأَمْرِ جَهْرَةً إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. And this is what the author, he mentioned in these lines here, the Nawdhim, he mentioned in these lines here that after 4 years, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he began to openly call to al-Islam. he began to openly call to al-Islam, meaning to announce the call publicly without hiding or anything, to come into the open, calling the people to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to leave off shirk and worshipping idols and others along with Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is whenever Allah, he revealed, فَاسْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرُ, that you must stand up and establish openly what you have been ordered and turn away from the pagans and polytheists. Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued to teach the people and call them privately and in secret until this verse was revealed. Meaning after this verse was revealed, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and those few companions along with him who had accepted Islam and believed, they began to call the people publicly. To call the people publicly and to announce that call. This was after 3 years. So in the fourth year, the da'wah sarat jahriya. The da'wah became publicized and let known for everybody. Before that, the people, they're hearing about Islam individually and in private. And in general, the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had reached Quraysh. In those first 3 years, it's reaching them, but just in a general manner. And many of them, they're hearing about it, and some of them are very interested, and some of them, they believed and they accepted Islam, and others, they're not interested. And from those who are not interested, Abu Lahab, he was not interested at all. And Abu Lahab, he was from the closest of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in lineage. And likewise, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam even married two of his daughters to two of his sons. And likewise, Abu Lahab, he's the neighbor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's his uncle and his neighbor. And likewise, he married his daughters to two of his sons. So they're very, very close. But Abu Lahab, he did not listen or like or want to hear anything about any call to the hereafter or leaving off the idols or the ways of the forefathers. So it was after the fourth year this verse was revealed, فَاسْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرُ, that you must stand up and publicize and announce publicly that which you have been commanded, you need to order the people with tawheed and to ward them from shirk and to turn away from the pagans and polytheists. And likewise, in the same time as well, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn your closest of relatives. And at this time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he started to call publicly, and from that, his relatives specifically. And it's been collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma, that whenever this verse was revealed, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn your closest of relatives, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went up to Safa. He went up to As-Safa, to the mountain of Safa in this area, and he climbed this portion here, and he began to call. He started calling all of his people, Ya Quraysh, Ya Quraysh, Ya Quraysh. He started calling them, and they all started coming. And he's calling from a loud voice, and they're all coming from different areas, and the lights like this. Like, what is he calling for? What is he calling for? So, Ya Quraysh, Ya Quraysh, Ya Bani Fulan, Ya Bani Fulan. And he started calling the different families of Quraysh until people, they started coming from left and right. And this one is coming from here, and this one is coming from there. Even those who were preoccupied and busy and not able to leave, he would send a messenger to go see what's happening over there for me. Until the people, they gathered all of them around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Abu Lahab came, and Quraysh, they all came, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said his famous statement. He said, أَرَأَيْتَكُمْ لَوْ أَخْبَرْتُكُمْ أَنَّ خَيْرٍ بِالْوَادِي تُرِيدُ أَن تُغِيرَ عَلَيْكُمْ تُرِيدُ أَن تُغِيرَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَكُنْتُمْ مُصَدِّقِي أَكُنْتُمْ مُصَدِّقِي. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do you see that if I were to tell you right now that there's an army of horses that are coming right now to invade you, would you believe me? Would you believe me if I told you right now that on the other side of this valley there's a great army with many forces that are coming to invade you right now? Would you believe me? And they said, قَالُوا نَعَمْ مَا جَرَّبْنَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا صِدْقًا. They all said, no, of course, we only know you to be from those who tell the truth. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنِّي نَذِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, then verily, indeed, I'm a warner for you of the coming of a severe punishment. I'm a warner for you of the coming of a severe punishment. Any warning of the punishment of Allah azza wa jalla and the threat of the anger of Allah and the punishment in the hereafter. And the punishment in the hereafter. So at this time, Abu Lahab, he stood up and he was like, he said, تَبَّنْ لَكَ سَعِرَ الْيَوْمِ أَلِي هَذَا جَمَعْتَنَا. He said, تَبَّنْ لَكَ تَبَّنْ يَنِي حَلَاكَ وَخُسْرَانَ. And he, may you perish and be a loser the rest of the day. This is what you called us for? You called us all the way over here, screaming and calling all these different tribes all the way over here to tell us this. He said, may you perish and be a loser for the rest of the day. At this time, Allah Azza wa Jal, he revealed, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبَّ مَا أَغْنَ عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبٍ. May the hands of Abu Lahab perish and be destroyed, and be in loss, and his wealth nor anything that he earns will benefit him whatsoever. But also similar to this has been narrated as well in Sahih and Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that whenever this verse was revealed, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. And I have a side homework for all of those who are interested. Where is this verse? What chapter is this verse in? And what is this chapter about? And whenever this verse comes in the chapter, what is the discussion? And what is the relationship between that discussion and those topics that are mentioned in that beautiful chapter and this verse here? The command to now stand and proclaim and to warn the people publicly, yani meaning the family specifically, and warn your family members. And warn your family members, the nearest of kin. And warn your family members, the nearest of kin, and that this was from the time of the call publicly. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he mentions that whenever this verse was revealed here, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn your nearest of relatives, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stood up and began to warn the people. And he would say to them, calling each of the tribes of Quraysh, اِشْتَرُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, اِشْتَرُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, save your own souls. And some wordings in Sahih Muslim, أَنْقِذُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ, save yourselves from the fire. Save yourselves from the fire. And then he began to call in general, يَا بَنِي عَبْدِ مُنَافْ, يَا بَنِي عَدِي. He would call the different families from the families of the tribe of Quraysh. He would call them in general. And he would say, لَا أُغْنِي أَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا, I'm not going to be able to help you or defend you against Allah whatsoever. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, يَا عَبَّاس Ibn Abd al-Muttalib, مَا أُغْنِي أَنْكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا, he called his uncle Abbas, I'm not able to help you whatsoever. Save yourself from the fire. Save yourself from the fire by believing in Allah and by believing in His Messenger and obeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I cannot help you against Allah whatsoever. يَا سَفِيَةَ تَعَمَّتَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, O Safiya, the aunt of the Messenger of Allah, مَا أُغْنِي أَنْكِ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا, I cannot help you against Allah whatsoever. Save yourself from the fire. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا فَاطِمَ بِنْتَ مُحَمَّدٍ, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اسألي مِنْ مَالِ مَا شِئْتِ مَا أُغْنِي أَنْكِ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا, يَا فَاطِمَ, the daughter of Muhammad, asked me from my wealth that which you like, but I cannot help you against Allah whatsoever. I cannot help you against Allah whatsoever. Meaning, if you want something from me in the worldly life, I can benefit you. But as for the hereafter and for your soul, you have to believe in Allah. You have to believe in Allah yourself, and you have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yourself in order to have savior and safety from the punishment of Allah azza wa jal. So this was the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever he began to publicly call. And likewise, he was going into the market sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was saying to them, Ya qawmi, qulu la ilaha illallah tufrihu. Oh my people, say la ilaha illallah, and you will be successful in this life and the hereafter. Say and believe in your heart and comply to that which it requires and necessitates, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and you will be successful. And the people, you know what they said about him? They thought he's crazy. What's wrong with this man? They would say to him, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا الشَّيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. They said, is he trying to make all of these gods one god? And we're supposed to worship one god? I'm turning all of these gods into one god? This is something amazing. They really did not like that. They really did not like that. So at this time, they started to use many different tactics to run the people away from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quraysh, whenever they seen some people accepting Islam from their tribes, some of them are accepting from this family, from the tribe of Quraysh. There's many different tribes, many different families inside of this tribe. the tribe of Zuhra, and the tribe of Adi, and the tribe of this one and that one, and there the tribe of Makhzum, and the tribe of this one and the tribe of that one, and the tribe of Bani Umayyah, Bani Makhzum, Bani Adi, Bani Abd Munaf, all these different tribes. Individuals from these tribes, they began to accept Islam and turn away from the ways of their people of falsehood. And at this time, the people of Quraysh, they start seeing a number of their relatives accepting Islam, and they started to really dislike that. So they started using many different tactics to run the people away from Islam and to prevent the spread of Islam. And from that, they would belittle them. They would belittle them, and they would mock them, and they would lie about them, and they would lie on them, and the likes like this, and they would say bad things about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers. And the one who had from the greatest hand in this was Abu Lahab, waliyadu billah. And Abu Lahab, whenever somebody wealthy and somebody of high status and rank from Quraysh would accept Islam, and Abu Lahab heard about that, he would start to belittle him and to mock him and to tell him and to warn him, oh, you accepted Islam? Oh, your wealth is going to perish, and you're not going to have any status, and we're not going to like you anymore, and nobody's going to care about you, and your whole rank and status in society is going to fall in, and it's going to go into rumbles and ruins, and you're going to be a loser. And he started to warn him like this, and he threatened him with the loss of his worldly life. Threatened him that if he follows at Islam and follows the deen of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's going to lose in his worldly life. He's going to lose his wealth. He's going to lose his property. He's going to lose his status and rank. This was the threat of Abu Lahab. For those who had status and rank, whenever he found out that they accepted Islam, he did not leave one of them. He did not leave one of them. Rather, he's talked bad about them, and he warned from them, and he warned about them, and the likes like this, and he threatened them with the loss of property and wealth and the loss of the worldly affair. Try to scare them about losing the worldly life. And this is the way of the people of falsehood all the way to today. This is the way of shaitan trying to make people afraid they're going to lose their worldly life, or that people won't like them anymore if they obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for those who are weak, and as for those who did not have status and rank, and as for the poor and those who were not wealthy, and those who were not wealthy, then Abu Lahab, he punished them. And he used to torture them. And he used to be harsh to them. And he used to harm them in a great manner. And from them, Suhaib ibn Sinan al-Rumi, radiallahu anhu, who was from the Arab, but he was captured by the Romans, and he was put into slavery likewise. But alhamdulillah, he was later freed. But in the beginning of Islam, he was from those who were weak, and he used to be punished. And they would punish and torture him so much that he would be punished and he would be beaten so hard. He would lose consciousness, all because he was a Muslim. They're punishing him and harming him over and over and over, and trying to force him to leave out Islam and to disbelieve in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he would be punished, until he would lose consciousness and he would not know what's happening. And then he would come back and he would be harmed in a great manner. And likewise, from those who are harmed for his religion was Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu. He was a slave. And Abu Lahab used to take a rope and tie it around him, and tie it around his neck, and give it to the little boys of Quraysh, and they would run around, dragging him around all over the place, just dragging him around, and he's being pulled around until he's choking on his throat, and you can see the marks on his throat. They're harming him in a great manner. And even they would take him into the desert in the middle of the valley in the super hot time of the day, at the Dhuhr time, and throw a rock on his stomach and tell him to say something bad about Muhammad. Say something bad about Muhammad, disbelieve in Muhammad, or say that I believe in Lat wa Uzza, these false gods. And he would only say, Ahad, 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 I believe in Allah. And he meaning, La ilaha illallah, I'm not following you. And they would torture him and punish him in a great, great manner. Until Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, one day he seen him in the state, and he said, how much do you want for this slave? And they said, man, just give me this money. So he bought him. And then he set him free. And this was the way of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, setting the slaves, those who believe, free for the sake of Allah azza wa jal, taking the pleasure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also in this time, Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, he accepted Islam, him and his father and his mother. Allahu Akbar. But they were from the freed slaves, and they were not directly from the tribe of Quraysh. Rather, they were from the freed slaves of Bani Makhzum. So they didn't have status and rank amongst the society, and therefore, whenever they accepted Islam, they were tortured and beaten likewise. Ammar ibn Yasir, him and his father Yasir, and likewise his mother Sumayyah, radiallahu anhum jami'an, they were tortured in a great manner. Rather, even to the extent that Sumayyah, she was tortured over and over and over until he took a spear, finally, and she would not succumb to what they wanted, and he stabbed her in her private parts until she died. And she is the first of those to be martyred, and the first shaheed, shaheeded to Islam, was a woman, and she did not she did not break in the face of those disbelievers. Rather, she was strong and she was brave and she was firm upon her religion and steadfast until they took her life. Radiallahu anha. And likewise, after that, they killed her husband, Yasir, radiallahu anhu, and he died as well in the punishment. So, subhanallah, and they were strong and they were steadfast. And even one time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he passed by them and he seen them being punished and tortured, and he could not do anything for them because he at this time was weak himself, yani in not having authority. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so he said, Sabran ala Yasir, mu'idukum al-jannah. Be patient, O family of Yasir, indeed your appointment is the paradise, meaning you're promised Jannah if you're patient and steadfast upon your belief. And this is what happened to them until they died. And as for Ammar radiallahu anhu, then he was punished likewise as well, and punished and tortured over and over until they tried to make him say bad things about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And even he was not able to do that, and they continued and continued until finally he said something bad because he was forced and it hurt so bad. And then after they let him go, he felt even worse, and he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to apologize. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him, how do you believe? He said, I believe in Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, what you said will not harm you. And verses from Surah An-Nahl was revealed about him, and about the fact that the one who says a statement of disbelief but he did that out of coercion and force, it will not harm his faith. Alhamdulillah. And that's from the beauty about Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said about Ammar ibn Yasir, Muri'a Ammarun Imanan ila Mushashi. That Ammar, he's been full of Iman all the way to the ends of his fingers and toes, and all the way to the ends of his body. And meaning the Iman had entered the heart of Ammar radiallahu anhu until it filled his whole body, until it's coming all the way to the ends of his body radiallahu anhu. So this was the case. They were going through great hardship and harm. In the fourth year after the call began public, they really started to harm the people in a great manner. They really started to harm the believers in a great manner. Wallahu al-musta'an. And even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they harmed him as well. They harmed him as well. And a lot of the people, they're not able to directly harm him because of his status and rank and his connection with Abu Talib. But as for Abu Lahab, then that's his uncle. So that's from his closest of relatives. So he was not afraid of his own tribesmen. So he was very bold in harming the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He used to lie on him and talk bad about him. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was going around trying to talk to the people, Abu Lahab would go behind him throwing rocks at him and saying, oh, he's crazy. I know him. This is my nephew. Don't listen to him. He's crazy. He lost his mind. He's lying. He's a magician. He's this and he's that. And saying all these bad things about him and trying to stop the people from listening to the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to deter them from listening to the truth. And likewise, this is the way of the people of falsehood until today, trying to turn the people away with different tactics and different lies and different tricks and deceiving the people to make them not listen to the people of truth. And this is what Abu Lahab was doing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even they used to be sitting in their gatherings, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this period likewise, he started to pray in public. He started to pray. He used to start to call the people in public, and likewise he started to pray in public, and the people could see him, and many people would see his prayer and be like, wow, what is he doing? Wow, that's amazing. Even one time Abu Talib, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praying with Ali, and then he asked, what are you guys doing? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him, we're praying to Allah, this is salah. And Abu Talib was like, oh wow, that's amazing, keep doing what you're doing. He even supported him still even in that. But he never believed in having guidances in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. The point is now that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to call publicly and likewise the companions and to establish the prayer, sometimes in public as well. And they began to be harmed in a great manner. Harmed in a great manner. And Abu Lahab, even sometimes they would sit in their gatherings and they would see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming out of his house or doing some actions of worship and the likes like this, and they would throw things at him and laugh. They would throw things at him and start laughing. Ha 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 ha. And one time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is praying in front of the Kaaba, he's in sujood, and then Abu Lahab, he dared somebody, who's going to take these camel intestines over there and throw it on his back. And then one of the worst of them, Muriyadu Billah, he grabbed it and he did that. And he went over there and he threw it on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was in sujood. And then they started laughing at him. And then Fatima radiallahu anha, she came out and she started crying and she grabbed it. She removed it from his back sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were being they were being oppressed, and great injustice was happening in a persecution because of their religion, because they believe in Allah and that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and they believe in the Messenger of Allah and all of the prophets and messengers of Allah. They believe in them, and they believe in the last day, and all of the messengers of Allah, alayhim wa ala nabiyyina afdhalus salati wa taslim, and they believe in Allah in the last day, and they were harmed in a great manner because of this, but they were steadfast. They were steadfast and they were firm, and after this year had passed by the time the fifth year had come, it had become so severe. The punishment and the hardship had become so severe. Not only harming the men, also they're harming the boys and the children and the slaves and the women. And even at this time, from those who were harming the people was Umar radiallahu anhu, and he had a slave girl who accepted Islam. And Umar, before he was a Muslim, he used to hate Islam and hate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was beating that woman so hard because she was a Muslima, beating her and beating her and beating her, and then he stopped beating her, and then even he said, you know, I didn't stop beating you except because I'm bored. But in reality, I want to beat you some more. And he hated them and they wanted to harm them so much, and they did so many bad things to the believers because of their faith, until the fifth year came and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen the hardship that his followers were facing, and he allowed them to migrate and to leave their home, fleeing with their religion and fleeing for their lives. And this is what annal them he's mentioning now in the lines of poetry that we discussed today. وَأَرْبَعُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَاثْنَا عَشَرُ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ الصَّحْبِ كُلٌ قَدْ هَجَرُ إِلَى بِلَادُ الْحُبْشِ فِي خَامِسِ عَامٍ وفيه عاد ثم عاد لا ملام ثلاثة هم وثمانون رجل ومعهم جماعة حتى كامل وهنا عشر وثمان ثم قد أسلم في السادس حمزة الأسد. So the migration, these lines now are about الهجرتين. الهجرتين إلى بلاد الحب الشي إلى الحبشة. The two migrations that occurred in the fifth year after the coming of prophethood. After the coming of prophethood, they migrated to Al-Habasha, which is the lands of Abyssinia. So the author, he mentioned, and four from the women and 12 from the men of the companions, all of them had migrated to the land of Abyssinia in the fifth year of prophethood. And in the same year, they returned to Mecca, and then they returned to Abyssinia without any blame. Meaning in the fifth year, they fled for their life, a number of them. And it was four women and 12 men. And at this time, the first hijrah to Habasha was 12 men and four women. From the first of them was Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and his wife Ruqayya bint Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anha. And likewise Abu Salama and Salama radiallahu anhuma, and others from them in the very first hijrah to Habasha. 12 men and four women, they left. They left their home and they fled, and they went to Al-Habasha, and they were chased. And the story, we had discussed this in some detail in our previous classes, and you can refer to that and listen to those recordings bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And then after some time in the same year, there was news that things had gotten better in Mecca. And no doubt, people, they have attachment to their homeland and to their family members and the place where they were raised and they're born. And they like to be there and they like to go there and be around their family and that which they know and they're accustomed to. So whenever they heard that things had gotten better in Mecca, many of them, they returned. They returned and said, oh, we're going to go back. It got better. And it was a lie. And it was a rumor that had been spread and it was not true. And whenever they got back, they seen that things were contrary to that, and actually they were even worse. So they turned around and came back. They turned around and came back, but whenever they came back, a number of them also returned with them. And they were 83 men, and with them was the group until it was complete. And they, the women, were 18, and then in the sixth year, Hamza the lion accepted al-Islam. So in the second hijrah, after returning back, hearing the false rumor, they returned back. And they went to al-Habasha, Abyssinia. And Abyssinia is a great area. People think now it's Ethiopia. It's not only Ethiopia. It's also Ethiopia with Djibouti and also Somal. All of this area was a vast land called Al-Habasha. All this land here. All of this land here is known as Al-Habasha in those days. And there was a ruler there that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned was just. He was a Christian ruler and his name was Ashama al-Najashi. Ashama al-Najashi. And he was a just ruler and no one was oppressed there. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent his companions there in the beginning. So 12 men and 4 women went in the beginning, and then they came back. after they heard the false rumor, and then whenever they seen that things were more severe, they turned around and went back. But whenever they went back, the numbers increased because the torture and the persecution became more severe. Because the persecution became more severe. So at this time, 83 men, they left. And with them, 18 women. But here what the author, he says, whenever he mentions, وَثَلَاثَةٌ هُمْ وَثَمَانُونَ رَجُلٌ وَمَعَهُمْ جَمَعَةٌ حَتَّى كَامُونَ وَمَعَهُمْ جَمَعَةٌ حَتَّى كَامُونَ. And along with them is another group until they were completed. The other group is in reference to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, and he's from the Ash'ariyin, which is a tribe that is in Yemen. And Abu Musa and his and a number of his tribesmen, they heard about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they believe likewise, and they're coming to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Yemen. And they were riding on a ship from Yemen, and then the winds became very rough, and the winds cast them into the lands of Habasha, and they wound up with Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who was also from the first of those to make the migration, and he was the one who was in had the authority and leadership. Well, and in Habasha, and Abu Musa and a number of his tribesmen from Yemen, they wound up there with them, and this is in reference to that, and they all remained there, which we'll find inshallah soon until after the Hijrah, whenever they return, coming back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in al-Madina. So this is what is being referred to here. So most of them, whenever they returned the first time, they went back, and then along with them a number of others, 83 men and 18 women, and likewise the group that was with Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu in Yemen also met with them in Habasha, and they remained there in great company. And in great protection, and they were allowed to establish their religion and their deen, and no one harmed them, and there were attempts to bring them back. And likewise, these details are mentioned in our previous classes, which are recorded for those who want to reference them and listen to them. They can do that for the extra benefit. And this is what happened. Whenever they first returned, most of them turned around and went back with the other group. But some of them, they entered Mecca, and from them, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He went back and entered into Mecca after he had migrated, and then he was beaten and he was tortured even more severely, and he went through great persecution and hardship because of his religion and his deen. But he was firm and steadfast along with those who were firm and steadfast, and now his name is not mentioned except for one says about him, radiallahu anhu, radiallahu anhum. May Allah be pleased with him, and they had reached this high status and this rank, and these are those who are known as as-sabiqun al-awwalun. And Allah referred to them in His book, and He says, "السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين تبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه." And their promised paradise. So these are the best of the best. السابقون الأولون. These are those who were the first and foremost to accept Islam, and they are the first and foremost to believe and to aid and support the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to surrender and submit to Allah Azza wa Jal. And in this time, the revelation is coming time after time, little by little. And those verses that are being revealed are all about having sincere faith and warning of the punishment of the hellfire. And verses about Tawheed and the great right of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the affair continues until the sixth year. And at this time, Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, accepted Islam, and also another great man also accepted Islam. And at this time, the believers increased in great strength because of the Islam of Hamza and another great, 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 great man. Inshallah, we see who he is tomorrow. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.